Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Enlighten our minds, we pray, O God, by the Spirit who proceeds from you, as your Son has promised, so that we may be led into all truth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. During the final weeks of his life, Moses took an opportunity to address the children of Israel for one final time there on the one side of the Jordan River before they crossed over into the Promised Land, and recount for them, for what was probably his final time, the covenant that God had made with them. He reminded them of the love of God, and that that love should not be a one-way street, that it should flow into them from God above and then flow back to God out of them, and also flow out of them to their neighbor. The whole book of Deuteronomy is filled with instruction given by Moses. Those last instructions given by Moses and those last reminders given by him. And among those passages is this one that serves as our lesson for this morning, found in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Beginning with verse 9, and it reads as follows. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. That reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw one time. Most bumper stickers are not very profound, but this one is more profound the more you think of it. It said this, maybe you've read this before, I had never seen it before. It said, Jesus is God, and you're not. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. Jesus is God, and I'm not. Know, therefore, Moses says. Now, you probably know this already, but I'll say it again. Whenever we see the word therefore in the Scriptures, it's always a good exercise to ask ourselves, what's the therefore? Therefore. And in this case, know therefore, Moses says, the therefore points back to what he's just said. And what has he just said? Well, he's just told them that God rescued them from the house of slavery, not because they were so great, but because God had picked them and he loved them. And he cherished them and they were his own. And that's why he rescued them. Know therefore, then, he says, in view of that love of God, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Now, which one? He goes on to say, he is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands and decrees and laws I give you today, or judgments, as it is written on the bulletin for today. The judgments I give you today. Wow, that is some strong language, isn't it? I noticed a couple of connections, and really one connection, I suppose, overall, and two applications, one to God and one to us, but it's the same connection that God makes in this passage, and that is this. There's a connection between loving somebody and our actions, isn't there? You know, if you see a young man and a young woman in love, you don't have to guess about that, do you? You can tell it. You can tell it by their actions because love demonstrates itself, right? And God is saying here that our following His commands, decrees, and laws shows our love for Him. Isn't it true that when someone deeply appreciates someone else, they will show it? They will demonstrate it by their very actions. And you know something? When God says that our love for Him should demonstrate itself by keeping His commands, decrees, and laws, Jesus repeated that, didn't He? He said, "Whoever loves me will keep my commandments." And so I want to ask right now, do you love God? Can anyone else tell that you love God? Your friends? Your co-workers? Do they see in you a commitment, a demonstration of following your Lord? Seems like a simple yes or no question, doesn't it? Do you love the Lord? Pick any commandment, any decree, any of the laws that God has given, whether in the Ten Commandments or whether it's one of the applications of the Ten Commandments that Jesus gave. Pick one for just a moment, won't you? And think about it. Seems like such a simple question. And yet, I would be willing to bet that the very command that you picked is one that you have some trouble fulfilling. If you were really probe my stream of consciousness, you would find two conflicting answers to that question, do I love God? On the one hand, I would say, of course I love the Lord. I wake up in the morning intent on keeping His commands. When I think about it, when I wake up, usually I'm such a grump when I wake up, that's not the first thing on my mind. If truth be told, a lot of the times, it just seems like I would just as soon not follow His commands. I seem to be that double-minded man that James talks about in the book of James, that is unstable in all his ways. I wonder if maybe you are that way too. Only if you are descended from Adam. And so then what do? Are we just stuck in this place where we really want to serve God, but we do such a lousy job of it? Is there a key, a secret to Christian growth and maturity? After all, I really do want to serve God. I really do want to show that I love Him. There is a key to it. God gives it to us in His Word in the book of John. John writes this, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And so the secret to learning to love God is actually learning that He loves you. You say, well, how can I know that for sure? How? With some of the things that are on my conscience, how can I know for sure that He loves me? Well, Scripture is filled with examples and passages that tell you that very thing. But not only does it tell you that, not only does God say outright that He loves you, but He demonstrated His love for you. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul says. God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. That is, while we were His enemies, He died for us. While we were busy erecting a barrier between God and ourselves, He's tearing the barrier down. You haven't built a barrier so high that it can come between God and you. He has torn it down, and He did that when He sent His Son Jesus into this world. And again, He demonstrated His own love for us. His own Son went to the cross for you, where His blood washed away your sin, washed away your shame. He took it all away. He removed it all by sending His Son to live for you and to die for you. And now He says, believe it. learn of it, meditate on it, and you will find yourself loving him back. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please pray again with me? O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayer. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without your aid, grant us the help of your grace, so that keeping your commandments we may please you in both in will and in deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.